It's so good to have you here today as we end the week together with one another. Right now, we are in the biblical text of Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, as we learn from Jesus who God is. Specifically in this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. And this identification of God with us is in verse 15. But Jesus, answering, said to John the Baptist, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And it is in verse 16, after being baptized. And the identification is again found in verse 17. "Behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The identification of God with us is in verses 15, 16, and 17 of Matthew chapter 3. And so let's go verse by verse in order to understand how God is identifying himself with people in the ministry of Jesus. And we'll start at verse 15, building off the background I gave you yesterday. If you were not here yesterday, get the God Is podcast and get all caught up. Speaking of the last time we were together, we learned that John the Baptist has prevented Jesus from being baptized by John. So in verse 15, Jesus tells John the purpose behind why he, Jesus, must be baptized. "In this way, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And I want to talk to you about four words. The first is us. The second word is fulfill. The third and fourth words go together, all righteousness. Interestingly, Jesus says us, as in John and Jesus. So John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ are the ones who will fulfill all righteousness by the baptism of Jesus. And the second word is fulfill. Matthew used this word a lot because Matthew wrote his gospel originally to a Jewish audience, and he wanted to connect Old Testament prophecy to New Testament fulfillment in Christ. Matthew demonstrates to the Jews that Jesus really is their Messiah, and he quotes from our Old Testaments over 60 times. The only other New Testament writer who does that more is the Apostle Paul in the book of the Romans. Let's take, for example, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." Jesus comes to do the will of his Father in heaven, and it is God's will that Jesus be baptized, such that to be baptized by John in the Jordan will, here is that word again, fulfill God's will. Jesus does what he commands of all his people. And so even when something is not technically required of the Lord, he will do it because it demonstrates his identification with his people. Now, I am not talking here about sin. Jesus never sinned, just because that would identify him with us. Jesus never sinned at all. Even on the cross, Jesus himself was not a sinner. Now, let me give you another example about what I'm talking about, which is common for the commentators to point out, and that is Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. Let's take a brief look, as this is another example of Jesus fulfilling something expected of all good Jews. I'll read Matthew chapter 17 now, verses 24 through 27. "When they came to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?' He said, 'Yes.' And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, 'What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers?' When Peter said, 'From strangers,' Jesus said to him, 'Then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and me.'" Here, the people are requiring of Jesus the tax. But as Jesus points out to Simon, because Jesus is God's son and God is the king, Jesus does not have to pay the tax. Kings never tax their own sons, do they? No, they tax strangers. Nevertheless, even though Jesus did not have to pay the 2 drachma tax, he still does. And Jesus gets the tax money in a very miraculous way. "Just go get it out of the fish's mouth, Peter." And I love how Jesus says to Peter in what is for me one of the sweetest and most beautiful things the Lord ever said, Give it to them for you and me. For you and me. I love that. Jesus says, for you and me. All right, so Jesus is baptized even though he definitely does not have to be. So why then is he baptized? It is so that he will fulfill God's will that Jesus identify with us. Given that we as Christ followers are commanded to be baptized, given that the obedient Jews then were being baptized, he set the example for us and was baptized by John the Baptist. And then our third and fourth words are right next to one another and near the end of Matthew 3, verse 15, all righteousness, all righteousness. Let's look at this matter of Jesus fulfilling all righteousness, and then I'll make some application to our lives on this Friday in the middle of the month of June. The plain fact of the Bible is that Jesus is righteous and we are not. No person who has ever lived is righteous apart from Christ. But in order that God could identify himself with us, God the Father sent Jesus the Son into the world, sinfully unrighteous world, to be our righteousness. And in order for Jesus to fulfill all, not just a part, but all righteousness, God the Father determined that Jesus the Son be baptized. Jesus had no sin, and yet there he is being baptized as if he were a sinner just like the rest of us who have been, are soon being, or will be in the future baptized in water. I know that I am just at the beginning of telling you about God's identification with us via Christ, but I trust you're starting to see from this text how Jesus teaches us about what God does for us. Recently, we had gorgeous weather here in the Boston area on a Sunday morning, and I decided to take a little time and enjoy it. Just go out there among the grass, the trees, the birds, and the sky and breathe deep. Oh, it was so nice. God had once again created a gorgeous day, and I expressed my thanks to him. And then I thought about how the one who created all this, the sovereign king of the universe, perfect in holiness and righteousness, also designed little me. I felt so small, standing outside in worship and in prayer to him. Furthermore, he put me together in my mother's womb knowing full well that I would be a born sinner. I came right out into the world as an unrighteous baby, and then I grew and grew in my unrighteousness. Sin blossomed within me, and sin started to show its ugliness through me. And even after I learned about God, I could never do enough, even by my own good works, to make myself righteous enough to be accepted by righteous God. My self-righteousness was and is worthless to him. I felt hopeless until I learned about Jesus. Stunningly, Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus came to make me righteous. And how did he do that? He was crucified dead for my sin and rose again from the dead, the resurrection. And now by my faith, and my faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, I have now been made righteous. Standing under the great big trees and the blue sky that stretched all around me, as far as I could see, and with the breeze flowing over me, little me, and my great big God above me, I thanked him also for his righteousness imputed to me, given to me by his Son Jesus. And that made me think of Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus said to John the Baptist, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John the Baptist permitted Jesus. I love the way verse 15 ends. Then John the Baptist permitted Jesus. And they went down into the water, and Jesus was baptized. Amazing. You know, it is not only in his death and resurrection that Jesus is righteous. Friends, his entire life was lived righteously, even down to the detail of water baptism. And he lived that righteous life on our behalf. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment, his righteousness has been imputed, been given to you. I hope that you will also take time this day, before it is over, to worship the righteous man, Jesus the Christ. With that, I'll close our examination of verse 15. In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. And we see clearly this identification in verse 15. It is also second in verse 16a. Let's turn there now. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 starts, after being baptized. I'll pause there. After being baptized means that Jesus was indeed baptized. And I want you to know that this word baptized means as follows. And for this, I'm on board with Bible commentator, pastor, expositor of God's Word, and radio Bible teacher, James Montgomery Boyce. Dr. Boyce served as the senior minister of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia from 1968 to 2000, and his death from cancer. If you have an opportunity to listen to the Bible Study Hour on radio or online, I urge you to do so. The Bible Study Hour with James Montgomery Boyce. He's now highly recommended by me to you. And Dr. Boyce, incredibly intelligent and insightful with ancient languages, said this word baptized means identification. Let me quote him as we end this week. In my opinion, the best way to understand Jesus' words is by understanding what I see as the primary significance of baptism. The idea of identification, which is what I think the word baptizo primarily means. In Jesus' baptism by John, Jesus identified himself with us in our humanity, thereby taking on himself the obligation to fulfill all righteousness so that he might be a perfect savior and substitute for us. And then James Boyce quotes another one of my favorite pastors. As Boyce continues, I think Harry Ironside expresses the idea rightly when he says, he who was to take the sinner's place came to be baptized of John, that he might thereby be identified with sinners for whom he was to lay down his life. That was Pastor Boyce quoting Pastor Ironside there at the end. And both gentlemen are correct. I have to go, but join me again on Monday as we continue to learn who God is.